Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
When some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said to them, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left one stone upon another. It will all be thrown down." And then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what signs will there be when these things are about to happen?" And he answered, "See that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he.' The time has come, but do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first. It will not immediately be the end." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes and famines and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons. They will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead you to give testimony. Remember that you are not to prepare your defense beforehand. For I myself will give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents and brothers, sisters and relatives and friends. They will put you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel reading is set into our liturgy to tell us we're coming to the end of the liturgical year. Next Sunday, the Feast of Christ the King, the triumph of Jesus over the world, is the last Sunday of this liturgical year. Then we'll begin with Advent, and we'll lead us up through Thanksgiving and on to Christmas. So coming toward the end of the year, we are given this reflection on the end of the world, the end times. This appears many times in the Gospels. Jesus speaks about the end of the world many times in the Gospels. Probably we're most familiar with Matthew, because Michelangelo did the great masterpiece of Matthew's end of the world in the Sistine Chapel. Since we are familiar with that, people on the right, on the left, the sheep are on the right, dextra, the goats, the lost ones are on the left, sinistra, and we're familiar with this division in the end of the world from Matthew 25. However, the early followers of Jesus believed this literally. They believed the end of the world was coming. And for this reason, they didn't write anything down about what Jesus said. For 40, 50, 60, 70 years after Jesus died, why would they write it down? The end of the world is coming. We gather every Sabbath and we celebrate the Eucharist. And we remember the sayings of Jesus, we remember the teachings of Jesus, and there is an oral tradition that goes on. And then after about 40, 50, 60 years, they said, "Well, maybe the end of the world isn't coming. So maybe we should write this down." And then the Gospels take shape. That's why The Gospels begin to take shape only 40, 50, 60, even 100 years after Jesus dying and resurrection. So they took it literally. Can you imagine what would happen in our world if we took this literally? We have wars, we have insurrections, we have earthquakes, we have famines. We've had those for years and years. But people said, but that doesn't mean the end of the world is coming. What would happen if we believed the end of the world was coming? What would it do to the stock market? I mean, what would we do to all our savings, all the things we've been clinging to? What would it do to our relationships? Would it fill the churches saying, the end of the world is coming, we better say a few prayers, we better turn to the Lord? Would we forgive people? Would we be generous? Would we care for others? Would we worry about other people if we thought the end of the world was coming? As the very early followers of Jesus thought. But we know the end of the world is not coming, and so we have to look for a new way to interpret these gospels speaking about the end of the world. You find it also in the Old Testament. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 6 through 9, you have the story of Noah. Remember Noah and the flood, and everybody gone except the people in the ark? It's a myth, but it's meant to speak about the end of the world and a new dispensation in the kingdom of God. So how do we interpret this? This branch of theology dealing with the end things is called eschatology. In Greek, eschatos means the end or the last things. Logos literally means word, but it means the study of the last things, eschatology. And in that branch of theology, you have future eschatology, which is the end of the world will come sometime in the future. And Jesus said, not a stone will be left upon a stone. And all the things that you cling to, all the things that mortgage your life, they'll all pass. Future eschatology. But then, for us to interpret this in the present age, because we don't think the end of the world is imminent, we have what's called realized eschatology. You'll find in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, the very first words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, which is the earliest Gospel, is, the kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is here. It says, repent and believe in the good news. The first words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. The kingdom of God is now, not in the future. The kingdom of God is now. Not when everything is clear, the right and the left and all the people. The kingdom of God is in the present moment. The first words of Jesus in the proclamation of Mark's Gospel. And he says, repent. Not a good translation. The Greek word is metanoia. Meta means change. Nous in Greek means the mind. Change your mind. The kingdom of God is at hand. Change your mind about something. Don't cling to things. Everything is passing. The kingdom of God is in this moment. Viktor Frankl, in his marvelous book, Man's Search for Meaning, says the most profound energy that drives us, unlike Freud said pleasure, sex, things like that, most powerful energy. He said, no, the most powerful energy that drives us in life, the search we have, is for meaning. If you find meaning in life, you will be capable of a great, great sacrifice if you find meaning. You will be capable of handling great suffering if you find meaning. You will understand triumph of success only if you find a deeper, deeper meaning in it. Otherwise, it will take over your life, will persecute you. Otherwise, your reversal will destroy you. Otherwise, losing your material things will be the end of your life. There has to be a deeper meaning. We have to look for something deeper than the temple in all its glory, and all the adornments of the temple, they're going to pass. So change your mind. Speaking to Israel, he said, you're looking for a Messiah that will be powerful, restore the glory of Israel, the prominence of Israel. And he said, change your minds. The kingdom of God is not defined by the triumph. It's defined by relationship, by service. So how do we say we live in the kingdom of God right now? It has something to do with belonging. It has something to do with forgiveness. It has something to do with being generous, sharing, understanding. It has something to do with living a full life in a much deeper way than the world leads us to believe. There was a TV ad for some Glendale Savings, I think it was some years ago, and it said, come visit your money. I've wondered about, what does that mean? Come visit your money. It's like, you know, I must really take care of my money and everything. That's the meaning of my life. The kingdom of God is at hand now. There's something missing in your life. You have some conflict in your life. But the king, you belong to the kingdom now. Heal, forgive, reconcile, bless somebody, lift somebody's spirit, because you believe that the kingdom of God is in this moment. That's the meaning of realized eschatology. I want to save my soul now, not when I die. How will I have fullness in my soul? How will I be totally peaceful? How will I walk with meaning in my life? It's all connected with relationships. The kingdom of God is among us now. The leper will be healed. The sinner will be welcomed and reconciled. How does the Church of Holy Family live out realized eschatology? All are welcome. There's a place for everybody. There are no judgments, no discrimination, no division. We'll be kind to one another. We'll care for one another. We'll worry for one another. That's what it means to witness to the world that the kingdom of God is in the present moment. Now, that's called realized eschatology. I want to save my soul now. I want to be alive. I want to be fully alive. I want to be so alive that I'll welcome the day. The rain comes, I'm fully alive. The sun shines, I am alive. And you meet people who are dead. You know, the Irish are naturally pessimistic. So the priest says to the farmer, isn't it a fine day? So what does he say? I know, but will it last? It's that fullness of life, praising God, thanking God. I know my life isn't perfect. I know I'm imperfect, but I am infinitely loved. That's the meaning of the kingdom of God. All my foolishness, all my ridiculous, my failings and everything, they're all embraced in this moment when I become aware that the kingdom of God is now. In many ways, I've thought, reflecting on this, that
We live in a world that's full of darkness. There are famines that we can easily ignore. There are people carrying a lot of pain that we can say we don't belong. They belong to somebody else. There are wars, sometimes very evil, destructive, absolute abuse of human dignity. Even in our own culture, in our societies, we have neglected people. We're the richest country in the world, and yet we have people walking among us in our neighborhoods, in our churches, who are struggling to survive. And we say, but the kingdom of God is here. And I will show you that the kingdom of God is here. Because we will not walk in darkness. We will walk in the light of Christ. We will walk as people who are free. We will walk as people who are in the salvation. We are people who are uplifted by the power of Jesus Christ and the infinite love of God. That's who we are, because we live today in the kingdom of God. So realize eschatology. I'm remembering Minnie Louise Haskins, this English poetess, who wrote this marvelous, inspiring poem called The Gate of the Year. And the first stanza goes like this. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he said to me, go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God, and that will be better for you than light and safer than the known way. And I went forth and I put my hand in the hand of God, and he led me through the night. I gladly trod through the night, and he led me toward the hills, to the breaking of day in the lone east, to a new day. Put your hand in the hand of God and let God lead you into the unknown. Let your security be in the hand of God. And let the hand of God lead you through the night to the breaking of day in the lone east. That's what it means, that we are people of the kingdom of God. Amen.